discussions, they're always Krishna conscious. Okay, well, that's nice. Ooh, it wasn't recorded before. Oh. So one has to appreciate that the descending process starts from simple principles that always have to be able to be applied. This is the problem. We take knowledge. Are we losing everybody here? Or is everybody still with us here? Or everyone's gone, you know. Yeah? Are we all right here?
Yes, yeah? Marge.
Okay. We have to appreciate that you have the descending process. That means there's Krishna. And then Krishna's energies, and then that, there's internal, external, marginal. You know, there's the Sandini, Samvit, Ladini. There's all these, and these come down. And that becomes more and more detail. So that's the point, is that someone in Krishna consciousness, they're always Krishna conscious. Then wherever they are in the detail, they can connect that to Krishna, because it descends down from there, and wherever they are, they're connected. The ascending is, I give you a few basic fundamentals, but I always move on from there. You learn the basic arithmetic, you learn the basic language, then you move on and do all kinds of things what you like with it. So that's where, this is where the problem comes in education. Those attached to the ascending process of education will never be able to educate Vaishnavas properly. Never. You can put that in writing. Those that understand how that knowledge they have connects to the descending process, and therefore where it fits into it, and therefore its actual value, they will be able to then teach, and they will be able to use that knowledge nicely and show others how to use it in Krishna's service. That's why it's foolish to think, oh no, unless you have a karmi degree in education, you can't actually teach people. If that's the case, why are there so many people go to school and don't know anything? I think it was Laurel and Hardy. Then Hardy said to Laurel, he did something foolish. So he said, didn't you go to school, stupid? And he said, yeah, and I came out that way too. So it's very common that it's understood that you go to school, you don't necessarily come out learning much more than what you went in. At least in you know, these first world countries that claim to be first world countries, you know. And then there's Finland, right? They do go to school, they do learn something. But in America, they're like 30th on the planet, you know. They're not so great in their education. And I guarantee you'll see over the next couple of years, it'll get worse. So we have to appreciate that the ascending system of knowledge is very limited in what it can do in Krishna consciousness. So all intellectual problems and all that come from the attachment to, I have to see it with my senses. I have to be able to logically figure it out myself. That's then only way it can be real. No, you have to hear from authority, having faith in that, clearing doubts, asking questions, clearing doubts. Having cleared those doubts, now I should apply that knowledge. Applying that knowledge, then I'm going to get an understanding. From that understanding and practice, then I'm going to get a realization, which means I'm going to value. Right? So this whole idea of knowledge, skills, and values will not come by ascending process. Only comes by the Vedic descending process. You hear, it removes doubts. Right? In other words, we say, oh, when I have no doubts, I call that understanding. Now, understanding is when you see practically how it applies and it's how it works, the positive. Clearing doubts, that's just removing the negative. So the academic aspect is for removing doubts. Then applying that practically, that's what gives you understanding. So that's why you see in modern education, there is no understanding. And generally, they don't even clear doubts. Right? So therefore, we can see is that unless you accept that in education, that it has to show the individual living entity how they and their position can progress in Krishna consciousness and perfect their life by developing love for Krishna, that system of education is useless. Right? That has to have that faith. If you have doubts in that, then your whole, the whole problem will be there. Right? Now, since you have to take care of yourself, you have to learn secondary things, how the body's maintained, how to do, you know, physically, how to do the different things, all the arts and sciences, you learn all the moral elements, you learn all the laws of nature, laws of Krishna, you learn about how you're the soul, not the body, all these different things, and then you engage all those aspects of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha in Krishna's service. Then it works. Because when people worry, oh, but how do you make it in the world? They're talking about pranamaya, the second level of consciousness. People who ask these questions are not talking about the third, following God's laws. No, they're not talking about that. Those people don't, they don't doubt this system. They may doubt the ultimate goal being developing love for Krishna. They may think, no, it's fruitive. I will get material benefit and go to the heavenly planets and enjoy here. But they'll never doubt the system. So doubting the system comes from those who have attachment to scientific sensual knowledge and, you know, non-theistic social morals that generate economics. Because when they say, how are you going to make it in the world? They're talking about economics. They're not talking about the individual, their character, their nature. Just by that people appreciate they make it in the world. They don't know about these things. So in other words, it's a Shudra mentality. That I have to have a knowledge and skill that someone else will want to hire me so I can make money, so I can maintain my family. Fair enough. But the point is you have to see how does that support Krishna consciousness. Because the point is, if you don't know how to be Krishna conscious, then what's the point of the other things? Otherwise, if they themselves, that knowledge was so special, then all these people who work very hard and nice and, you know, are stable, wouldn't they all be pure devotees by now? But they're not. They're still karmis. Does this make some sense? We have to appreciate the knowledge descends. That means the principle is there of Krishna. Then the process to connect to Krishna, and that has the parallel things of the direct activities of devotional service and the secondary aspects where you engage your the body, mind, words, and all that, maintain it and all that in Krishna service. Right? So then with that, then we can understand, then the goal has to be that. So you have to see how, you know, how you're dealing with the children so that how are you being Krishna conscious? Therefore, that will have some, you know, influence on the children. How then, what you're going to teach them, what skills they need to know and all that. But what's the main point about that? Okay, they're learning to read. They're learning to their mathematics. They're learning their general knowledge. But they have to see how that's going to connect to Krishna. Right? So the point is they have to be able to read and write and speak well. They have to be able to do their mathematical calculations. They have to have that general knowledge. But the point is learning how that is used in Krishna's service, that's the most important part of the education. Now, if you just focus on that and not on these secondary things, one is they'll get the benefit of Krishna consciousness. But the problem is because around them, the world is quite materialistic, and we're including basically in this context the devotees also. Then they're always going to ask that. How are they going to maintain themselves? So it's only people just worry about the economic element. You're maintaining yourself, but if you're living like an animal, then, you know, so what's the benefit? You've spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of, you know, in money, and you've gotten yourself educated. Now that you can have a job so you can just maintain yourself. But the animals, without any of that schooling, they're maintaining themselves. That elephant's going to live about as long as you, and he's doing just fine. He never went to school. So the point is you do your duties, you engage your nature, but you have to understand your maintenance is taken care of. You don't sit back and do nothing. You engage yourself, but you have to know what your nature is, so you engage yourself. And according whatever is going to come, it will come. One person makes a small effort, gets a huge result. Another makes a huge effort, gets no result. How is that? That's the karma. So it doesn't matter how much you know. It's you're not going to get anywhere. You know? Does that make some sense? Are we good with this as the goal? Yes, no?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Because it's just a matter of, it means if we want to be real about it, if you just want to hear some nice things and all that, then that can be done. But if you want to actually be able to think in how to educate and become educated yourself, you have to know what you're actually dealing with. You know, it's like the difference between the guys that know how to ski, and they just do that. And then the guys who are enthusiasts, they go out, buy the fancy stuff, and they look good, and they do all the talk, but they can't actually ski very good. You know, you always have it, the enthusiasts. So we have to be very, very careful. People talk about all these things, you got to be able to do this in the material world and this and that. But if that person who's saying that, if they went out in the world now, would they be able to do it? Would anybody hire them? You know what I'm saying? So the reality is, because the person who he could go out in the world and they will hire him, he doesn't have any anxiety about this. His anxiety is how to become Krishna conscious, like Sanatana Goswami. Now, Sanatana Goswami, we would have to admit, is a very qualified person, right? He was the prime minister of Nawab Hussein Shah's kingdom. That kingdom was East India. So that means Bengal, you know, that would be now it's Bangladesh. It would be part of, Orissa. You know, probably, you know, take some little bit in this out of those other countries up north, like that. And as it is right now, Bengal, I don't know the latest census. I know from some years back, quite a few years back, maybe like 20. It's got like 100 million people. And Bangladesh. So between the two of them, it's 200 million people. And it's a small place. Then you add in part of Orissa and everything else like that. So how many countries in Europe have 200 million people? Right? None. It's like two-thirds of America or two-thirds of Russia, you know, or, you know, about this much in a bucket in China or something, you know, but whatever it is. But the point is he's managing that. So Bengal's always been the most populated because it's the greenest area. People have done studies of the Ganga Basin, and they say the Ganga Basin alone could produce all the food necessary to feed the whole planet. It's that fertile. It's that, you know, the water. It's always water, right? So it's like that. So you have the, in one sense, in that way, the richest kingdom, you know, on the planet. Sanatana Goswami's in charge of it. So when he comes to Lord Chaitanya, he's not asking him, well, okay, I can take up these things, I can renounce, but, you know, where will I stay? You know, how will I eat? Is that what his questions were? Because he asked those questions to Lord Chaitanya. I mean, it's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I mean, you can check just in case there's any doubts. But he says, I know so many things, because he's fluent in so many languages. And people call me a scholar, but I'm actually a fool because I don't know who I am. Rupa Goswami, he's the treasurer and a minister for that same kingdom. So the point is all these Goswamis, they're big, big people. That's why by the Srinivasacharya, then he mentions, the words mandalapati, that they're all mandalapati. Mandala means the earth. They're all, lords of the earth. But they gave it all up, tuchavat, just like it's nothing. It's not important. And then when they're coming in contact with Lord Chaitanya, they're saying, who am I? What am I supposed to do? So that's the whole point, is you have to understand that what is primary is the real thing to look for, because the secondary, Sanatana Goswami had more of that than anybody, right? And still, he doesn't know who he is. He's unsatisfied. So when we know who we are as servants of Krishna, then we get somewhere. So that's what we have to try to teach, right? So the primary is there, the secondary is there. Secondary, because it's so much detail, it may take up a lot of volume and time, right? It's just like in a day, your chanting is the most important thing you do. So that'll take a few hours. But now if you count how much time you eat, how much time you sleep, how much time you're in the toilet, how much time you're dressing, how much time you have to take out the garbage or sweep all these different things, that takes up by volume way more time. But because you're doing all those things, now you can focus yourself on chanting. That's the main thing. That's the actual main thing. So we have to understand, we have to get out of this mentality. No, but volume is more important. No, quality is more important. Would you like, if you like, we can trade you. We give you one little diamond about this big, right? Let's say we have a 5-carat diamond this big. Or we have a whole truck full of glass bottles. By volume, it's so much more, and this other is only this big. So, which do you want? That's the whole thing. Okay, are we good? Do we have any questions on any of this that we're clear on this platform?
Yes, Maharaj, I have one question.
Yes, please.
I want to ask you, if I clearly understand what you was explaining, that means that first things which we need is to educate in basic things of Krishna consciousness ourselves. After that, we can teach to others.
Yes.
Then how devotees, I don't know, can understand that somebody is really, really, good for this teaching, because you explained that many material knowledge and things like this are not valid. Then by which way we can really understand that, okay, this devotee is good for teaching my children?
Okay. The point will be is, do they have an inclination to teach? Can they do that as a regular thing every day, all day, like that? Can they interact? Can they do that without pride? It's just a natural thing they can do. Right? In other words, they're just doing that. They can do that. They're interested in seeing that the students learn what they're trying to teach. They understand the value of what they're trying to teach. They themselves are practicing that in the connection with Krishna. And so then, that way, then you can see that they can do. Right? Means somebody, anybody may be able to come in and give some kind of a nice presentation. And, to inspire someone in a particular area. But they'll come in and do one presentation and go away. Like some traveling devotees are there, they pop in, you have them speak to the devotees and give some presentation, and so then you can be inspired in what they do, you know, and all those kind of things. But as a regular thing, it's just like for to offer an artik. Any devotee could offer an artik, let's say, for, you know, a festival or, you know, something. Prabhupada's, you know, the Prabhupada's Guru Puja when it's a festival, or Janmashtami or things like that. It means any devotee would be comfortable. They're there, they can do, you can ask them. You know, some might be shy, but it basically they know what to do. But to do that every day, day in, day out, and especially many times a day, only someone who has that ability as a pujari can do. Right? Does that make sense? Or they're so advanced that they're so situated in Krishna consciousness that these are natural Krishna conscious activities. Therefore, they can worship the deity all day. Not so much the technical, you know, Shaligram puja and all that, but things like seeing that everything's nice for the deity and making offerings and bringing that and cleaning, and all day they can do that. Or they can teach, so they can always show people about Krishna. They may or may not have so much depth in a particular technical skill, let's say in a language or in mathematics or things like that. But they have that conviction of, you know, Krishna consciousness, and they can teach that. Generally, someone like that would be a preacher, but they may also, you know, like to deal like that with the students or with the children. And so they can come in and do something like that as part of the thing. But the point is they themselves are convinced of Krishna consciousness. They themselves, therefore, are inspired, and they can inspire others. Because Prabhupada mentions that that's the qualification of leadership. So being a teacher, that's a leadership position. This misnomer that only if you're a manager, you're a leader. No, that's foolish. Like that. Leadership is one thing. And these other management skills and all these other, these are something else. They're particular techniques in that you may have, and those are good, they're important, they're necessary. But it's only if someone has leadership can they actually continue doing that. Does that make sense? So those who are going to take a very dynamic or active role or a leading role in education must be leaders. You know, it'll be in this field, but they have to be leaders. Others who have knowledge in that field and are comfortable to try to explain how to give it to others, they can try, but you'll find their scope within education is limited. They can come in, you know, they come at 10 o'clock and they go at 10:45. They can do that. But if you tell them that, you know, think about how all these things, you know, be involved like that, we're doing so many programs, you know, how to develop, no. So they have that knowledge and skill, and, you know, they do the service, and you reciprocate with some facilities, and they're good. So you're always going to have different levels of teachers. Those who have a particular knowledge and skill, you know, they can use it themselves but can't show anyone else because they don't have patience, they're not a teacher. But if they're doing some practical service and you hang around with them and that, and you help them if you're smart enough, then you could pick up something from them by you know, apprenticeship. So that's in practical things you could do. But you have to be, they have to be tolerant enough of new people, and then the students have to be clever enough and respectful enough that they're actually trying to, you know, learn and do the best thing. Then that apprenticeship kind of thing can work. Then there's those who then, in a classroom environment or a practical environment, can go through, explain it as they go, try to take you through, try to show you how to do, and all that. And so that's then, you would say, your teacher who would be involved in the directly in the educational process. The other ones, that the educational process may connect to these practical people, you know, for learning skills, but they're not necessarily part of your system. You know, they're here now, you're doing something with them, you have people, you get involved, okay, nice, but if there's no people or they're not around, then they're not involved. But higher than the teacher who has this particular knowledge and skill and can get it across to the student is the one who can show them how this fits into their life, how they can be Krishna conscious with this knowledge. That teacher is higher. Manu makes a distinction between them. Like that. So, both are respected, but we see the one who can teach you more is respect. There's more respect due to them because they can teach you how to engage your life in developing God consciousness. Or the other can teach that skill. So most all devotees can, to some degree, deal in showing you how to be Krishna conscious. But whether they can do that in the context of that particular knowledge that they have and how that fits into Krishna consciousness, then they'd have to think about it to make sure that they understand how that would work. Does that make sense? So it's not just enough, oh, this is important. But why is it important? They have to be able to ask themselves that. They have to see, how is this important? Because if they can't answer, then they will not be able to teach it to the students. They may be able to teach the skill, but just as they don't know how it connects to Krishna, their students will not know how it connects to Krishna. They may value it, but if they don't know why they value it, they won't be able to get the students to understand to value it. Maybe a particular individual may themselves be able to understand it and value it, but that's technically not the direct credit to the teacher. So there has to be that manana or contemplation on what is its importance. How does it help? Then these things have value. Does that make sense? And those who lead the system have to be those who can make the students Krishna conscious, not the one who has the degree, ancient Greek or something. You know, like that. That person can coordinate the academic schedule and the classes and all this, but they won't be able to actually coordinate how the students are moving forward in Krishna consciousness. That has to be understood. You know, it's like the difference between a manager and a preacher. If the preacher can manage, then both go on. And if he preaches, he can get managers to be Krishna conscious. But if he can only manage, then he won't be able to make others Krishna conscious. It's the same principle. It applies everywhere. Because that's the point of the descending knowledge. It always applies. As Prabhupada points out, Krishna is teaching the Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he says the last time he taught this was a million years ago to the sun god who then taught it to his son who taught it to Manu. So that's the point of this knowledge. It never is dated. So sometimes, oh, this is old. You can't use this anymore. The world's changed. We can't do this. These are fools. They have no idea. So that means if they're dealing with dated knowledge, then why learn from them? Because when is it going to be dated? How long until it's dated? And if they're saying, oh, you have to speak like this, but on the street no one speaks like that. Oh, well, they're all wrong, but that doesn't matter because your knowledge is dated and now people speak like this, so what you're teaching isn't that valuable anymore. Oh, how can you say that? This is what they were doing before. But why are you going back in history? We're going back in history millions of years, and you're saying, oh, that's dated, things have changed. So the point is right now, how the kids talk and how you talk are different. In fact, if the kids talk, you don't even know what they're talking about. And so therefore, who's dated? But you talk Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter who you talk to, it's still valid. They can use it today. They can use it anywhere on the planet. That's also another misnomer, is that, all this stuff is okay for India, but it then doesn't work anywhere else. No, Krishna's knowledge is universal. Everything comes from him. Therefore, he is knowledge. That means the knowledge of everything is valid today as much as it was, you know, 100 lifetimes of Brahma ago. So this thing is, oh, we're from the West, so these things don't apply to us. That's completely bogus. It always applies. What Prabhupada's, Lord Chaitanya's given, what Prabhupada's given, what the Acharya's given, that's meant for every living entity. Like that. And then you see, according to the time, place, and the candidates that are there, the country, the time, the candidates, then you know what you push more or less, or this or that. These are details. You know, like if you're in Spain, prasad's going to be rice. That's what they eat. It's not a problem. But you go up into farther up into other parts of Europe, then it's going to be wheat. You know? And if you're up to date, then it's spelt. And the fun part about spelt, that you have to go back a few hundred years for people who have been eating that all the time. So that's the whole point. If old is good, then, you know, how old is Bhagavad Gita? That's the best. Does that make sense? So someone who's convinced of this, they can run. Otherwise, you get someone who just, they have some academic skill. They'll be able to put together a schedule, run out this, and it'll be really good in that way, managing. But as far as the kids liking it, anybody else liking it, anybody moving forward in Krishna consciousness, that may not work. But if the person themselves has that skill and they're committed to Krishna consciousness, they understand that's the most important thing, then they will, yes, they will be able to run a nice school for the students. So that's the whole point, is that when you're Krishna conscious, then any material skill and knowledge you have becomes an ornament. But if you're not Krishna conscious, it simply becomes a weight around your neck that drags you down into the ocean of material suffering. And the Krishna mentions in the Gita, I think it's, I can't remember, I think it might be 13.8. Maybe that's it. Then he gives a list of 20 points of knowledge. And the first one is humility. And Prabhupada says in the purport, if you're not humble, you don't actually have knowledge. So now we see in the modern academic world and scientific world, they're all proud of their knowledge and everybody else is an idiot. So actually they don't have proper knowledge. They may have the mechanical skill, you know, on the platform of Anamoy. But as far as a human being goes, they haven't made it to human life yet. Human life begins at accepting the laws of God. Right? We hear these laws of God. They simply observe. And what ones they observe, that they accept. Like, you know, Newton. How long ago? He was 1700s. Right? He's that. The law of gravity goes to Newton. That means there was no gravity before Newton. You know, so they observe it, then it's real. So they're like Buddhists. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. Oh, science hasn't studied that yet. So many times you say, this. Oh, no, but scientists haven't, you know, confirmed that yet. So what? They haven't confirmed so many things. Does that make sense?
No, all right, thank you. Prakriti Prabhu has a question.
Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Jai.
Krishna.
Jai. Jai.
The question is regarding this primary and secondary emphasis or consciousness.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes for outside of strict Gurukula settings, when we have a day schools and things like this in the yatras organized like we do here. We have two schools, one is our temple and another is on the farm. So it may be a little subtle thing, like externally the education may look completely the same, but this primary and secondary can be shifted kind of without notice very much. And what I mean is that in general, the understanding and is that primary is the education when you get a degree and you have something which can situate you in this world. And secondary is Krishna consciousness is kind of a additional very nice thing to be successful, whatever, with some adding of Krishna consciousness. And this comes as a very strong thing from, for example, Indian community, all the students that we have here. Their main goal is really like academics, and Krishna consciousness is a nice adding to that. So
yes.
Even among the devotees, this exists, the fear that the children, if they are primarily educated in Krishna consciousness, they will be lost in this world and they will not know what to do and may end up on the street or on some, I don't know, some parents. I have a practical thing. They called me and our son, he wants to join Padayatra. He's 18, but he doesn't want to get educated. And I'm speaking about devotees, really, our devotees.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems like...
You're talking about the white Hindus.
Yeah. It's mixed. Yeah. Like these things are intermixing. That although we want to surrender fully and we are devotees, but for children we want the best, and the best is that they are don't remain dropouts, you know, from the society.
And there is and the parent, what and the parent, what's their position?
But like in this case, the both parents are teachers, music teachers in the school, and the son, like when he was 18, he wanted to join Padayatra and stay on Padayatra forever. I mean, that is what you have.
They say that, but the point is he wants to do that. Why you wouldn't, means, in other words, are these kind of, how you say, I don't even remember the quite proper terms, but, you know, you have the kind of more liberal kind of mood where you can accommodate that someone's an individual, they want to try something, they want to do something, and so... They as an individual, this is important to them, so then, and it's a good thing, and it's the time of life to do that kind of thing. You go out at 18, you can march around in Padayatra all day. You don't mind the heat and the dust and the buffaloes and the traffic and all that kind of stuff. Try doing that, you know, when you're, you know, 40 or 30, you know, it's a bit of more of a problem. So then it's a nice thing, but if no, you have to do that. Oh, that's the term, draconian. So... These persons will say, we're teachers, we're liberal, we're trying to see the thing in the natural, but they're actually draconian. What's the problem if he goes out and he says he's going to do this forever? It says, first see. It sounds like a great idea, but, you know, let him go see. Because if it is that he's totally into that, he could be doing Padayatra things for the rest of his life. Because whatever you say is sitting wherever you're sitting. But when you go out in Padayatra, people give you stuff. I remember we were out on the boat going village to village. Every 10 days, I'd have to send a huge amount of stuff back to Mayapur because there was no more space on the boat for it. You know, we're talking rice and you know, jackfruits and this. I mean, huge amount of stuff. So that's the thing, is that if something is, that's a life, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, we see so many people on Padayatra, you know, are they starving to death? You know, that's the well-known fact that if you're on Padayatra, most of the main problem is people die of starvation, you know, halfway between where they start in the morning and where they arrive in the evening, right?
Yeah.
That's the major problem with Padayatra, right? You know? So... The point is they give you nice places to stay, but sometimes it's not. You get so it's up there. You depend on Krishna. So then 18, they want to try that, you do. And if it works, great. And if not, they'll be back. In other words, the guy will go out there, and basically it's like within 3 weeks, you'll see if they can actually adjust with it or not. When they find out you're walking 20 kilometers a day and this and that and so many things, you know, how many people are regular on Padayatra anywhere, right? It's a few. But you have devotees that are famous for doing Padyatra, and they're still doing Padyatra after 20, 30, 40 years. Right? And so he'll figure out if he can do. And then it's that. And then, and if he can, great. And if he can't, he'll be back. Then he'll figure out, no, I'm more comfortable with this lifestyle. So to live this lifestyle, then, you know, then is it, are you going to be a brahmachari in the temple all the time? Or, you know, you're going to like that. So therefore, then you continue with whatever kind of education you need. You know?
Yeah.
So the point is that, and I don't know if you have it there, but in other parts of the world, after you finish high school and before you go to college, many people take a year and go.
It looks like Maharaja's electricity went down.
Our apologies for this, but this is what happens in India sometimes, so. Hopefully it won't take too much longer. And if anyone's got any questions that they would like to ask, then you can indicate even now. And then we can proceed when Marsh comes back again.
Okay, where were we?
Then primary and secondary, Maharaj.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So that student, then he goes out. You know, even if he spends a year, because how long do people generally stay out there? Some weeks, some months, maybe a year, maybe two, three, and then that's it. So it's like this. Look at it another way. When was the last time his parents ever went out and traveled anywhere in the world?
No.
When was the next opportunity they'll get?
No.
After they're 50, 60. So this is the time to do it. Once you get married, you get all those things like that that they're all worried about, you can't do any of these things. That's why it's very, very common that students will, between secondary and university, they'll go out and travel the world, or they'll do the first year of university, then go travel the world, you know, or they'll finish the university, then they'll go travel the world. But that's the age that they like to do these things. You know? So that's the consideration, you know? So what it has to be understood is that, you know, it'll be thought, oh, we're being modern, but what kind of modern? That they don't acknowledge and accept the individuality of the child. How modern are they? How liberal are they?
The main fear is that one will continue to become a devotee, and at one point he will decide not to be a devotee anymore full time.
Okay.
He has no education, and he will become a social problem. You know, this all fears.
Social problem. What social problem? Which social problem?
Well, that he stays living with the parents, has no school.
Okay, so they're worried about themselves.
I'm just putting it up.
Okay. I understand, because you have that aspect that Prabhupada mentions in the material world, there's no such thing as love. It's all self-centered. It's just pointing that out. So they're thinking the worst scenario that could come out of this. What about the best scenario? What if he goes out on Padyatra and becomes a pure devotee?
Well, it developed in a different way. That person is now in charge of really like Padyatra every year, and he's with devotees, and it all got settled. You know, it's not.
So that's the thing, because the point is okay. Now, what if he sits there? Okay, my parents are in Krishna consciousness. What happens if they decide to bloop? You know, where? How am I prepared to deal with the actual reality of spiritual life if my parents decide they don't want to be devotees? Where can I take shelter? Where are those devotees I can get instruction from? Because if they leave Krishna consciousness, they're karmis and they're useless for that. There are our parents, and of course we have respect and affection for them, but they can't give us any direction on Krishna consciousness. So I need to go out and find myself those kind of people so that I can actually establish myself, you know, in the spiritual world and in the spiritual environment, because I can't trust that my parents are necessarily going to, you know, stay like that. They may become a problem. They may become a burden. Then they're going to demand from me all kinds of mundane things because they become so materialistic and all this and that. So that, you know, it's a big problem. How do the parents think about that? You reverse the thing. Right? How many people have gone on Padayatra are still in Krishna consciousness? How many people that didn't go on Padayatra have blooped? You know, so the whole point is that generally those who get into Padayatra become very solid because it's a simple lifestyle. You're out there. You can do things that no one else can do. I mean, how many temples run Harinam? And that's you just go out for an hour into a place that you kind of know and you can get back in your car and go back home. Here, you're out all day on Harinam, 24 hours. Every day, day in, day out. You're out there. You're devotees. You're walking down the street. People see you. That's who you are. You can't hide behind anything. So that takes courage. That takes determination. That takes that. So that's a solid thing. You're not hiding behind anything else. So that's a nice thing if they can do it. And if they can't do it, then it was a very good experience. Like Prabhupada, he wanted every devotee from the West to spend 1 year in India. No one ever did it because no temple president wants their people in India for a year, because then some will want to stay and you can't have that happen. So it never happened. But Prabhupada said all devotees should spend a year in India to get kind of like exposed to the culture and learn and see that it's real. Yeah. Like that. And so, therefore, Padayatra is a wonderful thing to go out on. Yeah. And even you look at it, even from the Karmi's point of view, someone who's going out and walking for a cause, does that not hit the newspaper? You know? So then that's there. I mean, I don't know if which it is or how famous it is, but I mean, before it was that you had, if you go back, you know, some time, Christians would go out and they'd go on pilgrimage and do Harinam going to wherever they were going on pilgrimage. They go from their village to, some sacred place, and they'd go with kartals and singing their songs. Yeah. It was a very standard thing in Europe. You know, so it's not, and you're out walking, people will respect you. And where are you? You're out in the villages. They're not walking through, you know, Berlin or something. Not that they don't do that when they get there, but they're walking, and people in villages, you're out there walking, and you got bullocks, and you got these things, and you're living off the land. They respect that way more than that devotee's parents. I can guarantee you that 100%. That when he's out there walking on Padayatra, they'll have way more respect for that boy than they will have for parents that wouldn't want to come out and get dust on the bottom of their feet because they might die. These are people who are down to earth, who are solid. You go out to the villages, it's easier to discuss Krishna consciousness with them. Because they believe that there's something more going on. They are not an illusion that I'm in control of everything, like the people in the city. So it's a very nice area. So it should be understood that the child wants to do that as a parent. Of course, all they worried about is this eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Your Labrador dog does that. What about his God consciousness? Right? They can say, oh no, but we're worried about that, but he'll have to maintain himself. You have to be real. But the point is okay, he's maintaining himself, but he's not Krishna conscious. Are you going to be happy? No, he should be Krishna conscious. This is how he's becoming Krishna conscious.
Ideal is you become a PhD, at the same time you become a great devotee.
Knock me out. Give me a name.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
In India.
And I'm saying, give me a name of somebody with a PhD who's a pure devotee.
Maybe in Chaupati, somebody, some of the Indian boys, they have the same time high education, but they started before. They already started with their education.
Yeah, but otherwise, where are they? You have PhDs fighting over, you know, on Prabhupada's books, wanting to change Prabhupada's books because they're worried that other academics won't like what's in Prabhupada's books and they'll feel bad because they're connected with Prabhupada's books. So they want to change those books. That's your PhD. Or they're completely opposed to the Vedic culture. That's your PhD. Now, someone who is a PhD before becoming a devotee, they have no problem with this stuff. They know how it's limited, how it's all politics. You know, it's like I don't know if you have there, but in America you see that they're having riots over there about the teachers are trying to teach these socialistic, you know, communist kind of ideas, Marxist ideas in the school. And the parents are saying, no, we don't want our children to become racists. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, okay, thank you.
So even the Karmi intellectuals know that the people who ruin everything are intellectuals. So therefore, act as a devotee. Because that's my point, is okay, you're saying you want to ensure that he can eat, sleep, mate, and defend. That's good, it's secondary, it's important. You have to be able to do that. But what are they doing to ensure his primary education? Are they saying he should go to Radhadesh and study and get his, you know, get his Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav and those things like that? Or if he can't go there, do it online? Are they pushing these things? No. So then they don't give a damn about that. They may say they do, but prove it. You know what I'm saying? Now, you might say, why am I so nasty about this? Because this question is the first question I said will come up when I started this discussion an hour and a half ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's still the question we're discussing. And yesterday when I talked to a group of, it was like 50 Indian educators who are into alternative education, the first question that came up to me was this point. And it's the first question I've heard since I've been dealing with Gurukul since 1982. No one will move on from this. They always talk about how this is the most important. Yes, it is important, but you have to understand its position of its importance. You know what I'm saying? It's just like it's important to brush your teeth, but we sit around talking about that all day. Or you just get up in the morning, brush your teeth, hari bol, and move on. And do important things. So, you may say, why am I being so strong? Because, you know, 37 years of trying to answer this question, coming from devotees who claim to be advanced in Krishna consciousness, it gets really annoying after 37 years. And the fun of it, on top of that, these people claim to be educators. Actually, they don't claim to be educators. You said they're teachers. So from teachers, I can accept this. From educators, not at all. Educator would not say this. So I don't mean to upset anybody, but at some point, one has to give up one's attachment that this modern education is what's making the world go round. At some point. Otherwise, you don't have to give it up. And you can take birth again in the material world and continue on. I mean, they do need teachers. But that's the difference between Kamal Shraddha, or Shraddha that's weak, and Dridhashrada, or that which is firm. Firm faith means you know if it's not connected to Krishna, it's a waste of time. Prahlad Maharaj said it, Dhruva Maharaj said it, everybody says it in the Bhagavatam. You know? Plus, you have to think is, even he does get his degrees, does that guarantee he's got a job?
No.
What's the percentage of unemployment now in the country?
Well, not too much, but for these.
Not too much, but how much? How much is that?
I don't know, really.
Generally, it's always around 30-40%. So that means there's that many people that don't have jobs, and they may have degrees. So if you're supposed to eat, you will. Yeah. If you're supposed to sleep, you will. If you're supposed to mate and defend, you will. Doesn't mean that we don't make our appropriate endeavor. But the point is this is the time to get your education in life. And real life is how to be a devotee. And you can say, oh, but you won't get into university. Let's say he goes out and he's on Padayatra for 3, 4, 5 years. Then he decides, okay, I want to get back into, you know, education and stuff like that. You know, it's so much. A mature student can get into a university immediately, but if you're young, like 18, unless you're the top student, you can't get into the university. A 25-year-old can get into a university just by going down and applying, because they know if you come at 25, you want to study, you will be a good student. You're not going to waste your time. Well, they know an 18-year-old, he can waste their time. And so they want to get the one that they have the best chance at not wasting their time. Therefore, the guy with the 4-point average gets in and all the other guys can go walk. That's reality. And because he's older, the teachers will deal with him more nicely like this. He'll learn more. He'll learn really quickly. So if you really want to learn it, you can get it. I've had boys from Gurukul, they go out. I have a few boys that are PhDs. You know? And how do they get that? Because they know how to learn. They know how to do things. They know how to deal with people. That's what they do. They can't teach you that in school. You do a B.Ed. They cannot teach you this. You have the nature. You can do it. You don't. They will never in a million years be able to teach you. Just like a business school cannot teach someone who doesn't understand business. If you don't have it as your guna karma, you go to a business school, you go to Harvard School of Business Management, you'll come out of there and still not know how to do business. One has to know that these things are real. It's God's laws, not us. It's not what we feel like. Yeah. You know, and then the fun part is we make so many comments about the Hindus, and oh, that they're there. You know, we got to preach to the local devotees. The Hindus aren't so important. But these discussions, these are just what you said. This is what the Hindus say. So at least, hopefully, then next birth, at least they'll get a birth in India. You know, and they do respect teachers over there, so we'll be better positioned. You know, and they cook better, so, you know, life will be better. But you want to go back to Godhead, you have to know your priorities.
Yeah.
See, the difficulty comes up when you emphasize the primary, then the default setting is, oh, you do zero with the secondary.
Yeah.
But that is people aren't using their intelligence. If I'm saying understanding the principles of cooking, how it works, is more important than having all the right pots and pans. Anybody who's a cook will understand that. And anybody who's not a cook will not understand that. Guaranteed. A good cook, you know, like for when you do the big programs, you get those big tins about this big of tomato puree. Yeah. Okay, cut the top off of that. Get yourself 4 bricks and stick some wood under it. An excellent cook will be able to cook nice things on that. And a guy who's not a good cook, don't even bother, you know, pick up the phone and order out for pizza. So that's the whole thing, is that under any condition they can cook. That's a cook, not someone who's in a fabulous kitchen. Therefore, he can kind of cook, make stuff that he's not going to kill you when you eat it. So that's the whole thing, is that you know that that's what goes. That's what anybody, the military knows that. What are the first thing? Boot camp means they're trying to develop an attitude in you. It's not an important thing to call all the boys girls and this and that. And I'm not sure what they're going to do in these non-binary kind of situations nowadays, how they're going to deal with that. But in any case, you know, but the point is they're trying to develop an attitude where they have humility, they're conscious, they're willing to work, they're active, and they're responsible, they have respect for authority. And if they have that, then they can be a soldier. Otherwise, you teach them how to shoot a gun, this, that. But if they don't have these, they're not going to be there. When the shells start dropping, they won't be there. Or they'll be there, but they'll be dead. You know, so anybody who works in the real world knows this. It means, when I say real world, I mean the people who run the real world. You can say, the teachers can say, oh, but we're in the real world. No, the people who make the curriculum, the people who are the supervisors over the schools, those are the people in the real world. And you can talk this stuff that I'm talking right now to them. They will listen. They will understand it. They will try to use it. And I'm not just saying that. They've told me that. Those people. Talk to teachers. Don't even bother. You know what I'm saying? In other words, educators will understand this. Someone who's just a teacher won't. Because they're not running their own school. And educators are running their school. That's why it works. So I'm saying, what we're discussing now, you say, oh, but we want to open a school. That requires an educator. They will understand the whole picture. They can do it. A teacher can't. Oh, they can take a few kids and run a little bit of something like that, or do an after-school thing, or maybe a weekend little thing, but it won't necessarily be very big. But someone who's an educator, they can take it, grow it, and make it happen. So that's why when we're dealing with education, we need educators. That means someone who's convinced of devotional service. They may not be so themselves so practiced or developed, but they're convinced. Then they can convince the students. And then along with that, the medium you're using is whatever academic and practical subjects you're using. They're a medium. But if you think the media is the message, then you're wrong. You know? So the point is the kids have to come out. They should be able to do all these things nicely. But the point is if they don't have focus, it won't happen. You know? In schools, how many kids drop out? By the time finishing secondary education, how many kids have already dropped out? What's the statistics? How many finish university?
But in university, first year, sometimes 50% drop after the first year.
Yeah, so that's the thing. And already a percentage has dropped by the time of grade, you know, your level 12, before going to university. And then even they finish, they graduate, how many people have a job in what they learned? What they got a degree in, do they have a job that matches that?
Yeah.
You know, so these are the things, these are where the facts that they're saying, the real world, and that these facts, they don't add up. This is what they've been told, and now they're telling others, so they believe it. And so because they have firm faith in this kind of thing, they're telling others. We're talking more on the principle here. I'm not specifically going after these particular
parents. Yeah, sure. I mean, in this case, what I have, I just use it as a example, but to tell you, it has a happy end.
Okay.
So ultimately, parents understood and agreed, and everything went like in Krishna conscious direction. So,
yeah.
But that tendency of fear that Krishna consciousness is not something's real life as a solid thing, as a primary thing, that's kind of like you said, it's practically all pervading. Coming from the outside society and from the conditioning of ourselves in
yes,
yeah,
yes. So we have to be careful of that. It means we come with this baggage, so know it's there.
Yeah.
Don't ignore it. Don't say that no. As soon as I walk in the door, I'm perfect.
Yeah.
No, know it's there, and know you have to deal with it. And you have that, so be aware. But if you look at it, what I'm talking about, parroting. I remember Radhanath Maharaj, when he was saying about he was going to, I think, join Krishna consciousness, or when he's going to go to India like that. His father, then, you know, before he went, he said, you know, I'm here, like that. You're going to go out, you're going to do that, but if things don't work out, you can come back. I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
So he still tells that story today.
Yeah.
That meant something. My father, I wanted to go to India, right? The high school's over, I wanted to go to India. My father paid for it.
Yeah.
So these are parents who, okay, you want to try it out? Okay, let's go for it.
Well, I have the same thing also.
Yeah, so that's the thing. And then kids who have parents like that, they generally don't have any problem in the world. Like if you check all the kids who have parents like that, they're not the ones with the problem. It's the ones that no, don't do this, can't do this, don't do this, don't do that. You know, we're not talking about doing things wrong. I'm talking about things in Krishna consciousness, something that's different than what they've done, or this or that, or you know, religious beliefs or philosophy, or trying out different things. As long as it's not you know, actually detrimental to themselves and this and that. You know, we're not talking about bad parenting. I'm talking about they themselves are not mature individuals. You know, not mature in the relationship. So the whole point is we have to be aware that that broad-mindedness and that you're there, then they know you're there. If you're always supporting them, then if they go out, if things go well, then they're happy. And if they don't, they'll be back.
Yeah.
But if you make their life miserable while you're here, they go out, even if it doesn't work, they won't come back.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
There are some questions.
Yes, please.
Okay, then if you, Maharaj, can define some definition of the convinced educator, because you explained that he's the best person for the real education, then when we, I don't know, want to really put our children to some good school, we also have to recognize who is really a convinced educator who will take care of our children.
Okay. Yes, so first thing will be is that the parent, are they convinced? Because if you're convinced, it's easy to understand someone else who's convinced. If you're not convinced, you're going to look for other people who are not convinced. Does that make sense? So if you're committed, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily advanced. We're talking about you're convinced that this is what to do. And so therefore, by seeing the teachers, by seeing how they deal, by seeing how they interact, by seeing the response of the children, then just from that you can understand that this is working. You have people that just come down, they see the campus, they see the kids, they see how bright they are, and they know it must be working. Because if the kids weren't happy, they wouldn't be bright. You know? So they have to just look, well, what kind of people are they? Right? That's the thing to look at. Then, besides that, then you see is, you know, okay, well, what can they teach? You know, what areas? But the main point is if they're getting a good Krishna conscious exposure, that's going to be very strong for them. But now if they have choice between, you have a few different schools, that one has an area that you would like your kid to know in that, and the kid's interested, then you choose that. It's just like in the modern education. You choose a university where the major that you want to follow, that's their strong point. You know, so much of the time it's just talked about, oh, there's the university. You go to Oxford, you go to Harvard, you go to Yale, you go to, you know, how you say, you know, Paris or these things. But the point is it's who has the department that teaches you what you want to know. So accordingly, people choose schools because they're really strong in a particular area. So the thing is, then you see is, okay, well, what are their strengths? What are they teaching? Because we also have to understand, especially when you're dealing with the primary and secondary, I don't know if you have that in Europe, but you have in America, that you have a secondary equivalency test. So anybody can go and take that test. And if you pass it, then you're qualified, you can go to university. You know? I mean, what university, that's another thing, but the point is you want to go on, that's what's seen. So I don't know if you have that there, is that, and most people, it takes them 3 months to 6 months maximum to get the qualification to pass it. So in other words, what took 12 years to teach, you can actually learn it in 6 months. Right? If you're older. If you're younger, it takes you a little bit more than 6 months. But if you're 16, 18 years old, you can learn it in 3 to 6 months. Right? You know, if you have the basic language skills, you know, if you can, like that. So the thing to understand is that you can do these things. It doesn't mean that the schools, that we're not trying to see that they don't have good language, good math, good, you know, all these different things. That we're trying to do. But we have to understand is that the kids being Krishna conscious is the most important thing. You know, language comes from Krishna. Math comes from Krishna. Math is movement. Movement comes from Krishna. Time is math. Krishna moves his arm. That's time. You know what I'm saying? Krishna moves, he walks. That's time. Then that time comes into the material world as material time with past, present, and future. But as it mentions in the Brahma Samhita, in the spiritual world, time is present because Krishna is time. The potency of time, he's constantly using by his movements, by his smiles, by his dancing, all that, that's where time comes from. Everything comes from his sarup. Does this make any sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Such a situation, I was speaking with some devotees, for example, there is no some other possibility to put the children to some, I don't know, school or to some group of children. They sometimes are not so much satisfied, but they don't have any other choice in, I don't know, this local area. Then it's better to generally, I don't know, tolerate that is not completely as good as they will want to, or is better to children home and try their own?
The point is you still have the home environment because it's a day school, no? Yes, so then you're still going to have time at home with them. You know, time at home or weekends or things like that, because generally whenever you're running these day school kind of things, they're not there all the time. They come at a certain time, leave at a certain time, so that means mornings and evenings, and then some days off, and then there's holidays. So those are the times when the parents can see that they're putting in their time and association and effort into developing the children. You know, the attitudes and, you know, whatever the parents know they can show, you know, because they're running a household, right? They have children, you know, everybody's still alive. So that means they know, they have skills. So then they can show those things by association. Because most of these skills are learned by association. As I mentioned, you learn the academic things, but when you go to work, they have to teach you what to do. You know, a few, you go there, let's say like a chartered accountancy. Okay, what you learn in the school, that's what you're going to do when you get there. You know, like that. But there's that practical point. You know, like a doctor, they study the things, but they have to do practice. They have to be interns. Lawyers, they have to be interns. You know, engineers, they have to be interns. So they have to do practical work. And so then these practical things that the parents know, and they like doing those things connected to Krishna, then the children are there, and so then they'll gain from there also. But otherwise, if you can take care all day, you can do. But the point is, if at the school, it's just not so great, but they're learning something and it's getting, but they're not, let's say, taking care of so many things like you'd like, but at least they're taking care of something. And it gives that variety to the kids. They're going out, they're with other children, they're with different people, different environments, they come home. So they get that variety, and it's always nice. If the kid doesn't like it at the school, then you might consider then training them at home. But if they like the school, they like all that, and they're not developing bad habits and all that from it, then why not? It's, you know, I mean, in the material world, nothing is perfect. You know, that aspect is also there. Nothing's really perfect. I mean, you try to get it as close as you can, but nothing's really perfect.
One question for Mataji. That there is some kind of the school which is running by the devotees. Generally, for example, this small boy all the time have the problem. He sometimes say to mother that I don't like so much to be together with the small girls and things like this. Why we have to stay in the Krishna school, boys together with the how to, you know, go through like this, because I don't know, basic things is the Prabhupada wanted that the girls and boys are separated. And then there is argument, it's unpractical, and we are Westerners. No. And things like
that. Yeah, they are Westerners, and what's the benefit of being Westerners? Means they have to remember their parents are Westerners. Their children are, means they never saw Urmila Mataji's book, Vaikuntha Children. The parents might be from hell, but the children aren't. If you're born in a devotee family, it means you were a devotee before. You weren't a karmi. The parents, as first generation of the day, they weren't necessarily serious devotees before. Might have been, and then did something stupid, and then like that, but not necessarily. Hence the lack of faith. But these children, they were devotees before, practicing devotees, but didn't go back to Godhead, so they take birth again in families. You know, if they were meant to go to Harvard, they would have been born, you know, in Vermont or in Massachusetts. So the whole point is they have to appreciate that it can say as we're Westerners means the parents are Westerners, but it's not necessarily the children are. They're a clean slate. And that's the whole point, is that girls, how they deal, and boys, how they deal, look very different, and they can bother each other. That's why it's always a formal kind of interaction. Because what girls like to do, boys don't. What boys like to do, girls don't. Means if you've ever had a daughter and a son, you know, the son's into, you know, dragons and this and that, and, you know, out playing in the mud, and the girl's into all nice things. There's a thing, and I don't know, it's an English thing. Girls are made out of sugar and spice and everything nice. And boys are made out of, what is it, frogs and snails and puppy dog tails. You can just see it. It's just the way it is. You can say, oh no, this is a construct by white males, you know, from the 17th century. That's all nonsense. It's the way Krishna made it. So the point is that you can say it's impractical. Impractical for what? You know, I mean, as far as the school goes and all that, it's much more practical if they didn't have to pay the teachers. Wouldn't it be? So much easier to manage, right? Managing the school, if you did not have to pay any teachers, that would be the most practical thing. So, are these teachers going to agree with that? So, practical means it's good enough for them, but they're first generation. This is second generation. So the point is it's not why it's not practical. You'll find if you separate them, they both learn better. Karmis know this. The state schools don't bother with it because it's cheap education. It's free. But all the education that you pay for, you know, private schools you go, then their schools, that the ones that they really want to do really well, it's either a boys' school or a girls' school. For the same age, girls and boys, girls, if they're separate, they will learn much quicker than boys. If you put them together, generally the boys do better than the girls because the girls are so spaced out by the boys. So that's why you see for wealthy families, you know, influential families and this, they much of the time you see they go to the private schools where boys are boys and girls are girls. They don't mix them. It's education. You want to learn. So if you're being practical, you separate them. They'll learn much better. Our school here, when we were running, the girls' school, they could do 10 subjects a day in a shorter day. Well, the boys could only do 6. And the girls would go through it much quicker than the boys because it's just girls. If the girls like the teacher, girls like, you know, they're interested in the subject, they'll completely put their energy into it and learn it really, really well. But then they'll move on. They want new things. Well, boys, they plod along slowly, slowly, year after year, and eventually they learn something. You know, as it is, they're running around and killing each other, the boys, and then you throw girls in, then it's like, when are they going to use their brain? So when they say it's not practical, they don't even know what is practical. You know, the point is they'll say, oh, but we don't have enough teachers. The same amount of teachers, you could split it up and it'll work just as well. And there's all these techniques for learning that multi-level classrooms, all these kind of things like this. You know, there's people who do this stuff, and you do it. They're there, all the students there. Each has their own work. They come up, the teacher explains it. They sit, do their work. Teacher keeps checking on them how it's going like that. Or if it's enough teachers, then you do one group at a time. But I'm telling you that a few people can teach. Plus, the older girls can teach the younger girls. The older boys can teach the younger boys. That's the Vedic system. They even do it in, I don't know if they do it there, but in many times the universities, you know, the undergraduates, those who are on you know, let's say the second year or third, like this, they're teaching their tutors for those in the first year. You have stuff like that as people are tutors. They're good at it. They teach. So if someone's, let's say, good in language, they'll help teach language to the little kids, you know, and then learn language from the teacher. Someone who's good in math, they'll teach that. Someone who's good in the stories, they'll teach that, or the mantras, they'll teach that. You know, so there's so many ways. These have all been dealt with. So they don't have the experience and all that. Okay, but learn. It's not a question of it's not practical. Like that. It's a matter of just the way it is. You know? Because as a normal thing is when they're real small, that if they're together, it kind of works. Girls will stay to themselves, boys will stay to themselves, or they'll play together. But from 7, they're not supposed to physically interact. 5-year-old, 6-year-old, it doesn't matter. But from 7, then girls, you know, don't like to be touched. And then from 10, Prabhupada said they're not supposed to mix. You know? So like that, then it just works. Prabhupada's saying it because it works. He's not saying it. And you can't say, oh, we're Westerners, so then are we supposed to, you know, order out for a you know, Mac double cheese because we're Westerners? You know, I'm saying, what do you mean we're Westerners? What does that mean?
That we learned some lifestyle, and we maybe seeing that it's good for us when we are staying in such positions. You know.
Okay. It's even they're saying that. Okay. How were the person who's saying that, how were their grades? The person who's saying that, how were their grades?
I don't know exactly.
Yeah, so then how were their grades? If they were hanging out with the boys and girls and being Westerners, you know, hanging out, how were their grades? Not very good. The ones that have good grades don't hang out. That's just the way it goes. So you can say is, yeah, I grew up in this terrible environment. So then, you know what I'm saying? It's just like the parents. Let's say the parents were into drugs. But they were into hard drugs. Right? So if their kid gets into drugs, they'll go, well, it's not so bad. But if they get into hard drugs, oh, this is enough, this is nonsense, this is... So in other words, what they went through, their kid goes through, it's okay. But aren't you supposed to save your kids from that? That's like the guy was poor. He worked really hard. He became rich. Then when he's rich, then he tells his kids, he experienced his... They have to go through and be poor and make their own money. Isn't it they get the benefit of your work? You went through all that. Despite that, you became a devotee. It's not because we were so much into drugs and illicit sex and meat eating and intoxication that's why we became devotees. So therefore, if our kids go through it, you know, it's no big deal. We have to appreciate that what does that mean we're Westerners? What does that come from? What is a Westerner? Define a Westerner. Boys and girls mix for what reason? Illicit sex. So then that's okay? You know? Why is it that one's okay?
Maybe they have to learn the normal stuff of the civilizations which is around them.
Okay. But that you can do by observing. So then why don't they take their kids down to that end of town where everybody's on heroin? You know, show them around. They should see what it's like, you know, living in, you know, that rundown place on a dirty old mattress. They haven't taken bath in months and, you know, like that. And they're, you know, half dead. Go on, take him down there, take him around, you know, go down to the local gang. Hey, you know, can you show my kid the ropes here? You know, how to handle the gun, you know, how to handle the knife, you know, where should he stab the person? You know, like that, you know. Hey, go down, you must have some red light district there, you know, go hang out and go talk. Have the girls go down there, talk to the ladies there, you know, how are men? What are men like, you know, and this and that, you know, like that. You know, what's your opinion on this thing and things like that? And, you know, they take them on a road trip up, you know, up to the local, you know, meat factory and, you know, show them around like that, you know, go down to the corporate, see how people's work dedicated their life like that to working for the company, and then they just get fired because they figured out a better way to make money, you know, and all this, you know, let's go to the houses where the husband beats the wife beats the husband, the parents beat the children beat the parents, you know, let's go for it. Take them out into the real world, because this is what the hell is going on in the real world. What the hell are they talking about? So in other words, they're thinking, my life, it was fabulous. But if it was so fabulous, why'd they become a devotee? So in other words, if you want to know what somebody, how advanced they are in Krishna consciousness, you see what they want for their children. They can present themselves as this and that and senior and this and that, but then they deal with their children like they're karmis. Then you know the level of spiritual maturity. You like that, you know? What are they talking about? You know? And then that's the common guy on the street. But now let's say we go to these higher grade families and all that. They don't do this stuff. You know, the rich, the wealthy, the big people who are actually running the money and the governments and that, they don't deal like that. Their kids don't run around and yell and scream. They're quiet. They sit there. They dress properly. They behave properly. So it says, you practice devotional service, you develop all the qualities of the demigods. So do you want to be demigods, or do we want to be malechas and yavanas? Okay. I mean, like I said, sorry if we're being very strong on these things, but if you're not strong, it just gets pushed to the side. Oh, we're just being practical. Like that. Oh, we're not fanatic. Oh, we just chant Hare Krishna. Oh, we're transcendental. Is that it?
It's the common argument all the time.
That's it. You just say that and then everybody stands back and goes, oh yes, you're right. So in other words, no brain, no intelligence, no logic, no shastra. Just throw those out. But I mean, the karmi world is doing the same thing. You look into politics, that's all they do. You know? So that's all. So you, one has to appreciate that, okay, great. What does that mean? We're being practical. Practical means you're getting a result. What result are you getting? You're getting a result that a boy is upset because of the girls. That's the practical result. You know? And Prabhupada says, if Prabhupada said, no, boys and girls should be in class together and he's not into it, then you can say, okay, something's wrong here. But Prabhupada said, don't mix them. It works so much easier. I mean, I remember once doing a class on Manu Samhita. I was doing a simultaneous class, one for the ladies and one for the men. I think, you know, one day we would have the class for the ladies, the other day we'd have the class for the men. And I had one devotee, he was with me, you know, he would go with me on all the classes. After some time, he was telling me, you can see very much the difference in how you present things, what examples, how everything like that, how it's understood in the men's class and in the women's class. They were completely different, though we were talking exactly the same material. You know, it's like what material presented today to the men, we present tomorrow to the women. It was actually the ladies' class was first, then the men's class. But like that, so, and he could say, you could see the difference. And how they would respond, how they dealt, what their questions were. So it's just practical. Right? I mean, the karmi world, it means those who want education don't argue with it. Those who are more into hanging out between boys and girls and seeing if you can get lucky or not, they're the ones who will oppose it. But if you actually want education, why would you mix? Because, and some will say, here's another argument. Oh, but if they don't spend time together when they grow up, they won't know how to interact. Right. And so all these people who were karmis before in education then became devotees. In the karmi world, for their generation, what's the divorce rate? Right? 75%. And that's the ones that got married. What percentage of people can't even find someone to be with? But they've already been through 10, 20, 30 people. So what the hell are they talking about? In other words, anybody who knows the nature of men and women and how they function together would never say that. Throwing rocks at the girl is the way to make it work? You know, that's what they do in grade school. Fifth grade, sixth grade, you start throwing rocks at the girls. Chase them around the playground. You know, so I mean, and that's what a girl wants. She wants to be, she's just waiting for that day that some kid will hit her in the head with a rock, right? So that's the whole thing, is that, you know, and then when that kid grows up into a man and is with a woman, then he thinks if he gets into, or he wants to get attention, he just does something rough and gross, then she'll love it. He's still in fifth grade emotionally when it comes to girls, and she's growing up a little bit more. And it doesn't work. Right? So the point is boys become men by the influence of men. The support of women, but the influence of men. They don't become, women don't make boys into men. They can support that they should become and see that they get association, in which they do. But otherwise, how will they make them? Right? And girls, when they have a very nice, confident, stable environment, they become very stable. They become women. Otherwise, then they don't. They're already women, they're already having sex, they're already having abortions, but they won't become women. They say, we're not girls, but we're not women, right? Isn't that the song? You know, so then, you know, they don't become proper women, the boys don't become proper men. That's what you get from this modern society of just letting them mix without any training. Are they trained? Okay, the boys and girls, are they training them? Boys how to behave with the girls, girls how to behave with the boys? Are those teachers that are saying we're only being practical, are they showing the children that? If they're not, that's cheating. Don't say that. Just say, this is all we know how to do. We didn't learn any other way. I don't know. I just went to a regular state school that this is how they taught. So I don't know. So if you do know how to, you know, split it up and do, then tell me how to do it and I'll give it a try, because I want the best for the kids and, you know, want to follow what Prabhupada says. Don't say nonsense like, oh, we're Westerners, this is how it works perfectly. It doesn't work perfectly. You know, what's the percentage of children that grow up with one parent family? You know, you go back to the 40s and 50s, everybody had two parents. Nowadays, it'll be hard to find someone with two parents. And then they're going to say, we're Westerners, it's going fabulous. That's not an excuse. You know, like that. Saying it's not practical means I don't know how to do it. It's not practical. Translation. I don't know how to do it. And if they just say, well, you know, it's practical, you know, like that, that means I don't know how to do it. Oh, no, it's practical. What are you talking about? That means I don't know how to do it. I don't want to know how to do it because I like doing it this way. I like having the boys and girls together. So you see the attitude. The attitude's gentle means they just don't know. They've never experienced. And if they got attitude, means they don't want to do it another way. So the whole point is that as a community, then one has to see and support and how to do. Okay, practical. What do you need to do? What needs to be there to make it work? People can put in some time or some this or some that, or you know what I'm saying? Because the point is this is our community, this is our children, and so therefore then you have to see how to make it work. Like that. It's not just, see, that's a difficulty also you have in the Western society, is that parents don't train children, they're sent to the school, teachers are supposed to train them. But the problem is that used to work when the teachers were you know, priests. Right? When the teachers were Catholic priests, it worked. But then in the 1700s, they made the state secular. Now the teachers aren't priests. So the teacher doesn't teach them and the parent doesn't teach them. And so then they're running off an archaic system that's not working anymore. So you have to see is what can we do to make it work? How can the parents be stronger? You know, how can they train in the home? How can, you know, support the school in that? It's not just, oh, it's the teacher's business to figure it out. Okay, it's the teacher's business to figure it out. But it's the teacher's business to figure it out in the Karmi world because you pay tax. And then the government hires people that will work it out for you. So you're just paying something for your kid there, but are you paying the money for the people to work it out, how to make it function? You just expect it to happen? So the community also has to see is they have to, you know, see what they can do to support. That doesn't mean control it. It means see what you can do to support. So there's always that balance. There's always that balance. How to help, but not control. You know, how to not be in control, but, you know, how to give them their freedom, but not be, in, you know, indifferent. I'm noticing here we seem to be over time.
Yes.
Yes, Mark.
So one thing you could do is for all the devotees that are taking part, they could maybe, if they have specific questions they want to ask, then send them to you, you know, and then tomorrow class we can start with these questions. Because we already did some idea of, I mean, the goal, that was quite strongly given, and then some qualification of teachers. You know, then there's the aspect of qualification of students. And so whatever questions are there from today's discussion will come up. You know, it's like when we run that thing with Tattva, is that you send in the questions, you ask questions. Sometimes the whole thing just goes on questions, and so then people get more of an idea. So tomorrow, any questions anyone has, we can open with those.
Okay.
Jai, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai. Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaja ki?
Jai.
Jai. Jani Tai. Jani Tai.